International House of Horrors.
Guests, and welcome back to the International House of Horrors podcast, your sanctuary spooky for all things terrible, horrible, brutal, bloody, gory, and the macabre. I am one of your curators here at the house, Joe Merle.
And I'm Josh. And since last week we had Micah on, we thought we need the other guy who is always on when one of us couldn't do it. So we once again have a special guest on the podcast.
Yes.
Welcome, Will.
Will is here, formerly of the famed, the notorious Hey Down in Front podcast.
Formerly of
the Hey Down in Front podcast.
It died of coronavirus.
Damn.
I think it died way before then. But anyway, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, it's killing podcasts
now.
Yeah, thanks for being on, man. You have been on the show a couple times before. You've been on with myself. You've been on with Josh. You're a fan of the horror movies. I see you've got your, I want to see that whole shirt. What, does it say, Hey Cthulhuaid?
Oh, it's Cthulhuaid, yeah.
Cthulhuaid? That's fantastic.
Oh, this is my comfy shirt. This is my lay around the house shirt.
Yeah, that's why I've got my lay around the house hoodie on. Even though it's still a little cold down here. Like, the basement's still a tiny bit cold, and it rained all night, so it's that damp air. That real nice damp. But today we do have a very busy show, so we're just going to get right into it. We talked about kind of, you know, what could we do with these last few episodes that we have outside of the 101 to see before you die, because we've still got a few of those that we need to get through. And we landed on, why not, Josh brought it to the table. He's like, how about we do another year in review? And those have been a lot of fun in the past, just taking a whole year, looking at all the horror movies that came out. And we let Will choose, being the guest. We said, hey, man, what year do you want to do? He came back with a more modern year, came back with 2014. And my first observation about 2014 compared to, say, when we did 89, and I think we even did one older than that, is that there's so many more movies now. Like, right. you look back at 89, it's like, oh, how many of these 25 have I seen? And now it's like, kind of in 2014, it's like, okay, of these 200 movies, how many of them have I seen?
I think Letterboxd said that of the horror movies, it was like 1,113 horror movies were released that year.
That's crazy.
that was six years ago.
Right.
And I also use Letterboxd, and I'm pretty sure it's not all horror movies, because when I filter what I've seen for horror movies, there are some movies that I then find with filtering for thriller movies that are clearly horror movies that are not on the list. And so,
it's odd.
Even more than that.
Because I used a couple different lists, well, like to
compare.
But Josh
saying something that's clearly a horror movie is Josh's version of clearly a horror movie.
Right. Toy Story 3, that ending was scary as shit.
It was rough, man.
That was rough. That was, you know, people always post memes of that shit. It's like, that was a really intense moment. All of them like, are they about to all go into the fire? Is this really happening?
Is this how it ends?
Please don't kill off all my friends. You know, complete side note, though. Yesterday, we were sitting, we opened up Disney Plus, and if you guys both have, Will, you've got Disney Plus, right?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore. Well, you might be able to find this online. If you get a thing, so Madison was telling me yesterday, I opened it up looking for something to watch, and she's like, we started looking through the Pixar shorts, and I went through the first one, the first couple, and then she's like, hey, turn on that one right there. It's called Tinker Toy. So apparently in school, they did some like history of Pixar or some shit and watched a bunch of the shorts. And this Tinker Toy, which I didn't even know Pixar went back this far, is from 1988.
Oh, wow.
It is 100% nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's got a nightmare baby on it, right?
Right.
It's like this, yes. it's horrible, baby.
It is. It looks like a little alien monster baby. It's only 5 minutes long. You can probably find it online somewhere, but it's like the very, very birth of CGI. And this baby has like grown man skin and a grown man face, but it's a terrifying little monster.
Yeah, and that's not what they meant. Like, they didn't mean to make a horror shot. It just came out that way because, they were at the beginnings of animation. Yeah, I got the whole Disney Pixar box with, like, all all animated shorts by Pixar and all the movies until like Monsters University or something.
Nice.
And that's I've seen a few of them, and yeah, it's
yeah.
The beginning
toy.
Was I think wasn't that the first one?
It's got to be from 88. Yeah. I can't imagine it goes back much further than that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you want to watch a real horror show? Watch Pixar's Tinker Toy.
All right, I wrote it down. I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, that'll give you nightmares forever. But we've got a lot of things to get through, so we're just gonna kick this off. And for anyone maybe who hasn't heard, if you're new listening to the show, a year in review. We just go through everything we've seen from that year, from whatever year it is. And this year is 2014, the one that we're gonna be doing today. So we're just gonna go kind of roundtable. Will's going to kick it off. Josh will go next, then I'll add something into that, and we'll keep going around and talk about these movies, maybe some good ones, some bad ones, what we've seen, and we'll just have a great discussion about it. So, Will, take it away, man. It's all on you.
So, if it's okay, I have a couple of, like notable things that also happened in 2014 that
I
looked up, just because... That are kind of horror related. And then I also got like the top box office numbers of like what was going on in 2014.
Oh, nice. Just, right on, man.
It's good, like, we have Will on. He does the research.
I know. Right. We got to have you on all the time.
Yeah. So the top box office movies at the time was the first number one was Transformers Age of Extinction. And that made these are worldwide numbers. That was $1.1
billion. Shit. Right. You know what, though? They always did really good overseas, those Transformers movies.
I mean... If you think about like the size of us and then versus everybody else, everything does really good overseas.
Right, right. Yeah. But those ones seem to do like drive it up. Those ones, Fast and the Furious always makes, you
the
know.
The next one is a really good example of that is The Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies. The Five Armies, which did
That's
like
the last one, right?
Huh? Yeah, it was the last one. That did $945 million. And like I looked at the numbers and it did like $200 million here, and it was like $650 million overseas. I'm like, oh my god,
it's crazy, yeah. Not even that good of a movie.
It's amazing. Shut up, Joe. The number three spot was Guardians of the Galaxy, which kind of crazy thing, and that was 6 years ago now at this point with $772 million. Number four was Hunger Games, and I think this was Mockingjay Part One. I'm pretty sure I didn't write that down. With $766 million, and then in fifth place was Maleficent. $758 million.
So we had two Disneys in the top, Maleficent and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. And this is also like the same year that Civil War came out. And like, I mean, there was some really good shit that came out in 2014.
I'm surprised Civil War didn't.
It was like number seven. I didn't write it down because I'm not doing all 10.
I think that's one of the best of the entire Marvel pantheon is Civil War. Like, that movie is fantastic.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's basically Avengers 2.5 or something.
Right.
So it's. Right. It's kind of crazy that it made less than the Guardians of the Galaxy. Although Guardians of the Galaxy is like this surprise hit. Like, everyone went to see it because it is amazing.
Right. And by a great horror director. I wish that guy would do more horror. He's done some cool things.
A couple other things that I got is some books that were released, some horror books that came out in 2014. Bird Box was released in 2014.
Michigan native right there.
Annihilation by, what was that guy's name? Jeff Vandermeer. That came out, even though it was under the horror book category, but I don't really consider that. It's more like sci-fi thriller. I don't know. That book sucks.
Yeah, although they all kind of mix together. Sci-fi horror, especially the sci-fi thriller. It's also
But there are very few things that are scary as a bear crying like a baby.
That happened in the book, though.
Ah, see, that sucks. That really, in the movie, I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is all wrong.
I read because that's a trilogy, those books. And I did the first two, and I got halfway through the third one. I was like, I can't do this. I cannot fucking, this is shit. It doesn't make any sense. and then lastly, I got Mr. Mercedes.
Oh, right on.
Which Stephen King actually had two books come out that year. One was called The Revival, and the other is Mr. Mercedes, which is just, I mean, that kicked off. Like, we wouldn't have The Outsider without Mr. Mercedes, because it just started the Bill Hodges trilogy, which then turned into what Holly Gibney is, and then that's why we have The Outsider. I think is a fantastic book.
That's what Stephen King does so well. He just takes these characters and keeps using them. He'll be like, oh, that was good. Yeah. I want to explore what they're doing. What do you think they're doing today? Let's find out. Just start writing some pages.
Well, the book that's coming out this year in May is supposed to be the second book. Well, it got postponed. I think Phil said on your other podcast it got postponed.
Because it was too close to home with everything that's going on.
I think it's probably just because everybody's bookstores are shut down, so you can't get to the store to go buy the book. So they probably just halted distribution, kind of like what we've been talking about with the comics and stuff.
Yeah,
it's probably a very similar situation.
Yeah, that's true. But I wonder if with books, you've got all the other distribution channels. You know, you got Amazon. I think Barnes & Noble is still doing online, but I don't know if distributors are kicking out the books to the retail.
Yeah, well, that and when you order something on Amazon, you're not getting that Prime in 2 days anymore.
No.
So I'm sure that there's a reason why, other than it's a Stephen King horror book and it just makes good headlines to say this is too close to home.
Right. It's true. You know? That is true.
And then the last thing I have is some graphic novels that came, not graphic novels, but trade paperbacks that came out in 2014. Joe Hill had two come out that year, Lock and Key, Heaven and Earth. Wraith came out, which is a prequel to Nosferatu.
Have you read Wraith?
I haven't read. I have it. I read the first maybe book in it.
Yeah.
And I haven't picked it back. It's just so fucking wordy.
He's an author of novels. Right. And it is, though. I mean, it took me a good 3 days probably reading, a little over an hour a day to get through it, a couple hours a day. It's good.
It's just so much different than a lot of the other stuff that I read. So it's I wasn't in the headspace when I got it. I just was oh, fuck, I'm going to get this because it's here.
Right.
And then I went through a good read it. I'm I just wasn't in the space for it. So
it's a good one. Get back to Wraith is cool.
And then the last trade paperback is something that I was really interested in just because of who wrote it and who drew it. It's a book called The Wake. Or actually, I think it's just called Wake by Scott Snyder and drawn by Sean Murphy. And that just looks like maybe a cool look at some, because it's supposed to take place 200 years apart. There's a present time and then 200 years into the future. In the book, and it's about they find some kind of thing in Antarctica, and then it just sets the fucking world on fire. I guess I don't know.
sounds a lot like the thing.
I really like the way Sean Murphy draws, so that kind of hooked me in.
He's a great artist, and Scott Snyder is a great writer. He's another one that can get a little wordy, though.
He's definitely wordy, but it was Joe Hill was writing fucking whole paragraphs over pictures. I'm like,
right, right. It's true. That's cool, though. That is cool, having a little set the stage for what was going on in the world at that time. I like that.
Right. And then with 2014, it's kind of not the best year if you look at the movies that came out. I mean, there are some definitely good movies in here. But for me, I picked 2014 just because of things that were going on in my life. And I'm like, this would be kind of a cool year to look back on and see what was up.
Yeah. I feel like every year in horror, there's some turds and there's some good ones, for sure.
Yeah. So what I have first on my list, and this isn't in any particular order, just the way that they came up when I looked at 2014 movies. First on my list is What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, see, and I didn't even see that one. Oh, that's amazing.
We got to say, you saw that movie, you just didn't see it for the list.
Right.
Yes.
Because I didn't. Everyone has seen this movie.
It's, and it's even more relevant because the show just started back up last week. And I don't know if either of you are watching the show, but it is... It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, in Germany, we're still waiting for the first season to come out. It's so sad.
It really is. We're going to shed a tear for you today, Josh, because of all the things that you can't watch because it's not available over there.
You should just use a VPN. And
that's what I told him. I was like, you need to use a VPN and get a U.S. account somewhere because...
I don't even think you need a U.S. account. I think your account will work. If you came to U.S. and logged into a Netflix account, I think it would just come up with the U.S. shit.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah. Because it's region-based. So you pay Netflix. So if you use the VPN and logged into your thing or whatever, the American or wherever you log into should come up.
But he has some benefit over there because I know on your Netflix, you get Better Call Saul weekly. It comes out.
Yeah, it comes out weekly, but it stays on Netflix, so
and
I can watch it.
I think you guys got Titans as well from DC. Didn't you get Titans on your Netflix? I thought it was. There was something else you and I talked about.
Titans just released somewhere, I think. But yeah,
maybe it was season 2. I think this is back when season 1 came out. But What We Do in the Shadows, Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement wrote it. I think they wrote it together. I don't think it was just Taika Waititi. And it might be one of the best satire movies ever made. It's just, I was trying to explain it to Madison because she's such a fan of The Office. She loves the fucking Office. Who doesn't love The Office, though? But she the kid's seen every episode multiple times. And she's like, what is this? When we had turned on What We Do in the Shadows, and we said, oh, it's like The Office, but with vampires.
Vampires.
Yeah. With that Jemaine Clement flair on it. And it's one Phil and I did, you know, a couple, 2 or 3 months ago for the classic pick of the week, which I'm shocked it took us that long to get to it. But that no matter how many times I've seen that movie, it never loses its punch. Right. Never at all.
On the opposite, it gets better every time you watch it. I feel like there's more jokes you see. There's more things that hit the second and third time you watch it.
Right.
It just gets better. Yeah, it's a great movie and it's really super funny.
Oh, it's fantastic,
like
man.
They really know their vampires, and they're like, you get all these different types of vampires that are really, they really look like the typical standard vampires that you get in all the movies, like all of them. Like you get the Nosferatu type with
Peter. Yeah.
But you also get the Bela Lugosi type or more of a... you get them all, and it's kind of awesome.
And you get some werewolves in there.
With the exception of them actually being vampires, is this even a horror movie though?
See, maybe that's why it didn't show up on any of my lists.
Right.
It's all comedy.
It's all comedy. Like with the exception of Peter getting, spoiler alert, Peter getting killed.
Right.
And maybe some of the blood and stuff, because there is that those couple scenes with shit. Yeah, they kill somebody in there, right?
Yeah, they kill a couple people. Because Jemaine Clement at one point's all covered in blood. And he's all pissed because he's got the blood all over him. And he's like, you know, this is never going to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they bring up.
Like when they open the door and he's in there with the orgy and he is.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then he comes out like a second and a half later. He's just outside the door.
Right. Like,
we've got a house meeting. Come on. It's time to go. House meeting. Anyone who hasn't seen that, where have you been? It's amazing. Like that is one I would encourage people not just to watch it. If you have the opportunity to either rent it or buy it, just buy it. Because I promise you, you'll go back multiple times over and rewatch that thing.
I'm certain it's on Prime or something for free. Like
it's somewhere.
It usually is.
That was number one on my list.
All right, Josh, you're up.
I'm up. Oh, I'm I'm not prepared. Wait. So the next one coming up on my list would be. Well, no, I'm going from the opposite direction because else we would take all the great movies right away because they are sorted by popular. So I'm going randomly. One that I saw in the theater in 2014 when it came out is The Town That Dreaded Sundown from 2014.
Nice.
The remake of the movie of the same name from the 70s.
But is it a
remake? Is it a sequel? Is it? It's kind of. Like they're watching the first movie in the movie,
right.
So it's not a sequel, it's not really a remake.
This movie exists in the world where the original movie was a thing.
Yeah.
And this one, Will, have you seen Town That Dreaded Sundowns?
No, I haven't. I almost watched it Friday night and I was like, I ended up watching something different.
Yeah, the original one, I would highly encourage everybody to check out. That's a, you know, because it was loosely based, not even loosely, a lot of it was based on these events that had happened in Texarkana and they never caught this guy. Like somebody came through, killed all these people and they never caught him. And this one, I was working at a Army Navy surplus store at the time, and my mom was telling me about some movie from her youth where all she could remember was they kept showing this guy's boots and his boots walking in the original. I ended up finding one on eBay, got a VHS, and have watched it many times ever since. But to Josh's point, the sequel is so different in that they're watching the movie within the movie. Like the movie exists, and now all this stuff, there's almost a copycat killer of sorts who's killing people based on this movie. But what they did in the remake is they really upped the gore value. Like the violence is just, it's crazy. But it's good.
Is it good?
I like it.
I really like it, and I think it's one of like the good modern slashers, like a good slasher movie that kind of feels new, but also reminiscent of the 80s, like of the good slashers of the time.
Absolutely, and he even looks like Jason from Part 2. He's got the burlap sack on his head,
yeah.
Which is everybody. I feel like Baghead Jason doesn't get enough love. I love Baghead. I love Baghead Jason. I think that was a great look for him. Just rope tied around his neck. And he only had, I think, the one eye hole cut out. And the last time I was watching, I was talking to Shane. I was like, that seems like a really bad way to be a killer, because unless you're looking straight the fuck at something, your vision's gone. Like, right. Somebody could sneak up right on your left and you'd never know. It'd be real easy to flank Baghead Jason.
Dude, yeah, but then again... Good. Yeah, you go.
Well, no, I was going to say, one of my favorite like horror movie shots ever is in part two of Friday the 13th, part two, when the final girl is in the thing right before she puts on the sweater, and she walks into the shed, and then you see the shot of her, and then in the window, you see Jason running across the yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if that was an accident. They were like, all right, Jason, run across into this camp. Like, I just love that shot. It's like one of my favorite shots ever, because you just see him fucking running.
You know he's coming.
Past the window, and it's like, well, there's Jason.
And this is back when Jason ran. Like, I feel like he moved quick up until part four. Part four was when he became slowed down a little bit. Yeah, no, I feel like he wasn't full. In part four, because Corey Feldman knocks his mask off, and he does look like a monster. He looks like a crazy fuck, because that was what? That was Tom Savini did four.
Yeah.
And he looks like a...
Just he's had that mask on. He's got no sun coming to it. Like, he's just...
Yeah, but...
he's all pale.
The sun, lack of sun does, I don't feel like, makes your teeth go all crooked and your eyes get like one way down here and one way up here.
No, that's the meth.
He's out in the shack just doing meth. Killing it.
That's why he's fucking so strong. He's just like on that meth high
all day long. I feel like he'd be a lot skinnier. Can you imagine seeing like a real methed out Jason, like super frail, just tiny?
Like fucking Superman at Flashpoint.
Right. Just weak and degraded. But no.
So the town that dreaded sundown.
Yeah.
Then he sees teenagers and he like automatically like buffs out.
He's like Bane, just gets a shot of venom. The meth is like venom. Going crazy.
I think we got the idea for Friday the 13th remake.
Yes, I think we've got it figured out. He's got all the cords in him like Bane from Batman. He does meth all day to keep moving so fast and then just shoots the venom up to get big. Yeah. That's it.
But it's just at the sight of teenagers. Like, he sees teenagers and he's like...
Right. Any other time, he's just super frail in the corner eating beans out of a can. All right, so moving on. I've got a lot of minor alphabetical until I got to my second list, and then everything started taking a turn. So the first one on mine is the ABCs of Death 2. And
that's bent over here.
I just wanted to get your guys' opinions on just the ABCs of death in general. If you've seen them, both of them, I couldn't tell you if you were to show me both back to back without the title cards. I don't think I could tell you which one was which.
That's how I feel about the VHS movies.
Yeah, VHS though. I think I know I've seen the second one more than any of the other two because I feel like the second one's the best because that had the weird cult. And,
I don't remember, man. I don't remember which one.
The second one was the Asian cult that I thought was really good because it ended with an actual fucking crazy demon. Like, they had summoned this thing up, but the ABCs of Death
is... And
it goes,
like, up into the fucking sky and shit?
Yeah. No, well, I want to say one of them gets under a car, and there's, like, you could see, like, the hooves walking around the car once the demon makes it out of the school.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, who knows? But
I've only seen
the
first one and the third one.
And have you seen the ABCs of Death, Josh?
No, they're both banned over here. I think
really?
There's like there's one or two of the episodes that are too gory, so they just cut them out completely. So there's a version here that's called 23 Ways to Die.
So they took out three of them?
Yeah, so they took out three and just made it 23 Ways to Die. And I kind of, I'm just against watching cut movies, so
right.
I haven't watched them yet, but I want to see them. I've heard like, I like anthology horror movies, especially like if there's 26 episodes, like 26 different movies by different...
Yeah, different directors,
at least
different
one or two
creative
good things. Drin.
I wish they would call it like the ABCs of Death minus E, M, and X. They just take those ones out for you. But they're cool anthology, and because they're so big, there's something in there for everybody. There's definitely something in there you can enjoy, but there's no way if you're putting 26 little shorts together that all of them are going to be winners. And I remember, I would say I was kind of split on both of these. Like, yeah, that was a cool one, but then you'd get to like three stinkers right in a row, get another good one, and so on and so forth. It's a neat idea, but at the same time, that's a lot to take on. You know,
yeah,
all 26
letters. Why I've never... ventured into it. I'm like, is this reward worth the
right.
this 90 minutes?
Yeah. Is it? I would say yes. Because there are a couple really good little shorts in there, but again, it's
so
one.
What letters are they? And I can just YouTube those.
I just told you I can't even tell the difference between the first two movies, and you're telling me to pick out which letter.
It's A, B, and C, isn't it?
I'd have to go through and actually look at the titles of every one of them. But on the flip side of that, it was a really neat opportunity that they gave probably to a lot of filmmakers who, you know, hey, I've got this really cool short idea to at least get their name out there.
Right.
And try something.
Right. So I think one of those directors ended up doing that XX movie that came out in like 2017.
Yeah.
Which was an anthology, which that was another example that was like two out of the four were good.
Right. That was the first one. And that one, the big thing was it was all females. All female directors. Yeah. And there was a couple of those that were good, but the other ones, I was just like, this is fucking stupid. I don't want to watch this. Okay. So ABC's of Death. We're good there. All right. Will, you're up.
Okay. So I kind of want to take Josh's role and not just go from the, because I think mine's sort of popularity too. So I don't want to like grab this one right yet.
Okay,
so let's do Clown.
Okay,
remember Clown? Oh, yeah. The Eli Roth movie that never was.
Right. It's he didn't make it though, right? He just put his name on it.
He produced it. John Watts did it, right? He the guy who made the Spider-Man movies. I think he made Clown.
You could be right. I'm not.
Because Clown was wasn't that guy like he just like put Eli Roth's name on it.
Yeah,
and, like, put it out there, and then Eli Roth was like, "I don't know, this is all right. I'll put my name on this."
And I thought he was a producer.
Well, yeah, he did end up like the guy just did it. I think like the guy just like put Eli Roth's name on it, and Eli Roth saw it and was like, "What the fuck is this?" And then he was like, "Okay, I'll agree to help with this."
That's a bold move,
right?
Yeah, you're right. He did the Homecoming and Far From Home, but he also did Clown. From 2014, which I'm not a big fan. Not a huge fan of Clown. There were some moments that were okay, but it was Josh that had introduced me to Stitches, and I think that is the superior horror clown movie in almost every way. It's a little bit
funnier. I like
funnier.
The story of Clown, like how like the idea of how the suit just absorbs you, but then just how it all turns out is what's not good.
Right.
Yeah. And I even like the body horror elements of it that are in there when he like tries to take off the nose and it doesn't work.
Right.
And like his skin just starts like changing. I think that's really cool. But yeah, the story, like I don't even remember how it ends. It just kind of like it's
he turns
a cool
into
idea
a giant
that
fucking like ice cream cone shaped clown monster, and then they kill him, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, it's, okay.
And the thing I think everyone remembers is the nose thing, because that's always the thing that sticks out to me is him trying to pull that off, and you have like all the skin is stuck and he's ripping it and there's blood coming out and all that fun stuff. But it was fine. It's not something I'll ever watch again. I had watched it when it first came out, but I doubt I will ever go back and watch Clown. I just don't see myself doing it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe I want to rewatch it, but I'm not really in the mood. It is good for a one-time watch for sure. Like I would tell, yeah. And I like that the guy who started with like this movie then went on to make like two successful Spider-Man movies in the Marvel universe.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those guys, you know, they start off in horror and then, I mean, that's the story of the first run of Spider-Man movies. You had a horror director who went on to make some Spider-Man movies, who is coming back to the MCU. Very excited to see what. I was not very excited about the next Doctor Strange, but once they said Sam Raimi's going to be on it, I'm now more interested to see what he's going to do. Because I like that dude. Like
well, they
Sam
keep
Raimi
pushing out that it's going to have horror elements, and then they put Sam Raimi's name onto it, and they get us. They're like, all right.
Maybe.
All right, maybe we'll still watch this shit.
Right.
On the other hand, I think what I heard is that I think Scott Derrickson was a director before it. Is that a name? I'm not sure. But there was a director before it who started in horror, who really was also a horror director. And he left the project because they said he wanted to do more horror than they would allow.
But Sam Raimi has that ability to do a good balance. I think, you know, you think about like Army of Darkness. He can make light horror if he wants, with still some horror elements. But the thing that I feel Raimi has always done probably better than any other horror director is he has this uncanny ability to make it fun. You know, it can be kind of scary. It can have horror elements, but it can be fun at the same time. You think Evil Dead 2 or anything along those lines. Like, yeah, it's a horror movie, but I'm laughing my ass off the whole time through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, true. You're up.
Yes, so I'm going with another horror comedy that I haven't watched since 2014, but I still remember I loved it. It's Housebound.
Oh, Housebound
from New Zealand.
Yeah, that was on my list too.
It's fucking amazing.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun.
It really is. So the plot is really simple. It's about a girl who, I don't know what she did, but she did something bad and now she is put under house arrest and she's not allowed to leave her house, but then it starts that there's like ghosts in the house and she lives there with her mother, and the actress of the mother is really funny.
They're all hilarious throughout the whole thing.
They all are, really, yeah.
That's one of my favorite horror comedies. Shane and I throw it on probably once every 6 months or so if we're just sitting around.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't feel that way the first time, but when I rewatched it, there's so many little jokes just hidden throughout this thing. And I think it helps once you know where the story's going. Like, once you know where it's going to end up, how it ends,
right.
It's like all the little shit you start to look at and piece together. But I just think the woman in that, the lead, and her mom, their relationship is just amazing. Like, that movie is funny as shit.
Yeah, they're both, like, I just looked them up. Morgana O'Reilly plays the lead, and Rima Tiviata plays her mother. And they're both really amazing. They're hilarious. And the lead, she has, like, this... She's really fed up with all of it, and I think that fits perfectly for like this kind of horror movie where the main character is just like, I'm not having any of this shit.
Right. Yeah. It's a ton of fun, and it goes in a direction that I think, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody because it was a cool kind of a reveal at the end there, but I like the direction they took it. I was like, okay, yeah. I'm all right with this. This is good.
Yeah. Well, because it was like kind of corny, and then it took that turn. I was like, this makes sense now.
Right. Makes so much more sense. But that's a cool movie. I like that. Good pull, Josh. Yeah. Next up for me is my daughter's namesake. 2014. I want to say this was the first Conjuring spinoff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
would
have been the first one.
The Conjuring was 2013.
Yeah. So this makes sense. And, you know, this was the character that opened up the entirety of the Conjuring universe. Like, that first shot in the first movie is them talking about Annabelle, the Annabelle doll. Now, with this one, since the release of the latter two, I think this is the weakest of the three Annabelle movies.
See, I think it's the best one.
Oh, we might have a little fight here. Ding, 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 round one.
See, I've only seen this one, so I'm. It's the best I've seen.
Yeah, that's fair. That works. For me, this one, I never fully bought the relationship of our two main characters. Like, to me, they just weren't believable enough for me. But I can't remember either of their names. But they were never fully believable for me as characters.
Mia and John?
I know Mia's right. You got that. And then...
Looks like a John.
Could be a John or a Dane.
Just about to look it up. Yeah, John is right. John and Mia.
Nice. Look at Wilgo. And even the woman from the bookstore, like the way she's just, you know, all of a sudden out of nowhere sacrificing herself.
No, it's... I agree. It's kind of... I agree with you that it was probably the weaker one when the second one came out. I'm assuming the second one's the one you like the most.
Yeah, I like the farmhouse a lot.
Yeah, that one is good, and that one's actually like kind of scary. But like, there's a couple scenes in the first one that really get me still, like when the demon's crawling up the stairs and like all the shit in the basement.
So I was gonna say the whole basement sequence is fantastic. Like, yeah, it's like,
I feel
really
like I've been
creepy
in a basement like that before.
Yeah, it's super creepy. But where I feel The Conjuring has always worked so well in most of the Conjuring movies, and that's why I feel like in the same regard, The Nun, it was good. Like, I love the atmosphere of The Nun. I think visually The Nun is cool as shit. Like, the real gothic kind of a backdrop. Right. But where The Conjuring works so well in the ones that I feel like are my favorite in this whole universe are when they have really good child actors who just sell the shit out of this thing. The first Conjuring, all those girls did an amazing job. In Annabelle, the second Annabelle movie, all those kids did a great job. And yeah. It almost makes it creepier when this shit's happening to kids. And that sounds horrible when I say it out loud.
Even the second Conjuring, the kid actors did a good job.
Oh, yeah, that main kid, the one who's kind of getting possessed, she was on point. Right. We
even have a movie come up on this list later that the fucking kid actor killed the movie. You know, that was the reason that movie is fucking fantastic, once we get to it.
But the Annabelle, the first Annabelle movie, I'm not against. Like, I won't not watch it. I don't dislike the movie, but I prefer that second one. And then the third one was just a ton of fun because you had all the different monsters. And to me, that's always fun when you bring in, you know, more than one entity, when everything was getting out of that room at the same time. I thought that was a good time.
Yeah. The third one is my least favorite because it just, I don't know. I just feel like we didn't need it.
No, you really didn't. You really didn't. Yeah. It was, what was I watching just the other day where I said it's something you could just put on and have a good time. I was talking about it anyway. But yeah, the second one I think is good, but the first one is still, it has its moments. Definitely has its moments.
Yeah, and the whole thing in the beginning when they're in the house before they move to the apartment, I think all that shit's great with like the fucking the cult family. Yeah. The cults are like running around. I don't know. And then which movie tied that in?
It was the second Annabelle, because it was her. It was the one girl from the farmhouse who was the daughter of those two. She gets adopted out at the end.
Yeah. Because like that made that end of that made the first movie better for me.
Yeah. If you go back and watch it, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. So for me about Annabelle is just like the problem I've talked about a lot is that it's one of those ghost stories with mostly like it's mostly jump scares. And so I don't really go seeking out all these Conjuring Universe movies because I don't know, they kind of don't really do it for me.
Nah, that's fair. But,
and Annabelle is watchable though. Like I wasn't bored. I didn't fall asleep during it. It's just, I don't love it as much as you guys.
So wait, the episode I did with you on House Joe was the Conjuring Universe episode, wasn't it?
Right, because that's the one
we had this conversation probably.
Right, that Josh really didn't like the Josh really doesn't like the jump scare stuff. Even though you look back historically, that's almost all haunted house movies is almost all jump scares.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't dislike jump scares. I don't like the cheap jump scare movies where the whole scare is basically it's not scary other than they hitting you in the face with jumps.
See, and I don't think The Conjuring did that at all. Like even
the Insidious
like,
ones do.
Yeah,
the Insidious ones for sure. But those aren't Conjuring.
Yeah, that's
universe.
Why I say like the. Yeah. I like the first Conjuring, but that like gave it the start. Like Insidious really gave the jump scare thing the start, but then The Conjuring, that was actually one of the ones I liked the most.
Yeah.
Out of all of the universe.
And there was one scene in The Nun that I really liked where you can clearly see something behind her, and I was waiting for a jump scare. And she turns around and it's still just standing there. And I'm like, that was good. Like you took what we expected and kind of flipped it on its head. I thought that was all right.
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you do the ghost stories. That's what I like about them. Yeah.
All right. So Annabelle, who's up next? Is it Will? Yeah. Will's up.
So I want to do a movie that I really, really, really dislike.
Okay.
Tusk.
Ah. Okay. See,
I watched that a few days ago just for in preparation for this episode.
So Will and I are on opposite ends of that. So I guess Josh, you'll be the
deciding factor.
Yeah, it'll lean one way or the other. What did you think of Tusk, Josh, just seeing it for the first time?
I'll probably be not helpful. Like I really liked the first half of it. Like the whole they really set up Justin Long's character as like a really shitty character, and then he drives out to meet this guy, and this guy is completely crazy, and it's a great performance. It's a great performance by both of them, but yeah, then he is turned into a walrus, and I even like that. I like the body horror aspect of that, like the imagination of just like, okay, imagine like taking the first thing when he just wakes up again and his leg is missing. That's like completely fucked up. That's like, I really like that. But I think they kind of could have left off all of the stuff with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah, for sure.
There was, like, there's this scene where Johnny Depp and, what's his name again? You love him.
Michael
Joe.
Parks.
Michael Parks. Where Johnny Depp and Michael Parks are standing there and having a conversation. And I just felt like that scene is completely unnecessary. They should have just let it out completely. And yeah, that was really annoying. And I kind of got turned off by that point. But
yeah,
the beginning, I really enjoyed. So,
and see, I love Michael Parks so much that I feel like I'm almost maybe a little biased just because I think his performance is so good in this thing.
And it is really good. That's the saving grace in this movie. That and the walrus like transformation is good.
Yeah,
yeah.
The podcasters that are fucking famous radio personalities essentially that are just like uber douchey. It's just it's too
that's,
much.
No,
man.
that's a put off for sure. What are they? The Nazi party? The Nazi party?
Nazi party?
It's fucking stupid.
So it had to have been around 2014 or at least maybe 2015 when I went out to, I was in Jersey for training for work, and I took a trip to the Secret Stash because I was like, well, I'm close enough. I really want to see what this comic book shirt, because that was when Comic Book Man was big and all that stuff. And I went to the store.
Sounds like the worst time to go.
Right. But they had the full bodysuit from Tusk up on the wall, which
that
was
is cool.
Yeah, it was, and it looks just as gross as it did in the movie. Like they whoever put that thing together did a good job. But for me, I can watch this movie and ignore everything else outside of Michael Parks when he's in the other walrus suit and they're like getting ready to fight and he's like going after each other.
Right.
It's just fucking fantastic. And the backstory, like how this walrus saved his life and then he had to kill the walrus and eat it. And then, so this is a redemption for Michael Parks.
There's elements of the movie that are good. Like I said, everything Michael Parks is good. It's just, it's all the other stuff in between that just makes it unwatchable.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. The Johnny Depp stuff is really bad. And I don't know if he was in it just because his kid was in it I don't know how that worked out.
He's not even credited, I think. Like he's credited as the character's name and, I don't know. I think it was something like that, or as a friendship to Kevin Smith. I don't know. Like it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, I wonder if he just met Johnny Depp through his kid, because I know those two are friends.
Yeah.
Like they
weird.
Really are.
That's
friends.
Fucking weird.
It is. It's strange that Kevin Smith's kid and Johnny Depp kid are so close like that. And
Johnny Depp's kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Johnny Depp are friends. I'm like, that's fucking weird.
No, because I don't know if she was in the movie first, you know, because those two are in there as the store clerks.
That's the other girl, Johnny Depp's daughter.
And where Yoga Hosers came from. You want to talk about shit Kevin Smith movies, Yoga Hosers.
Anything he puts his daughter in at this point.
Fuck, really is. But
she's
Kevin
Smith's Sherry Moon Zombie.
She really is. Phil and I talk about that a lot. How it's like, oh, we got a perfect role for you. It's just for you. But yeah, Tusk, I will still go back and watch. Not often. You know, I think I watched it two or three times since it's released in 2014. But it's just because I'm such a fan. But if I want Kevin Smith, Michael Parks, I almost always go to Red State. Yeah, Red State.
Every time.
Red State, I think, is Kevin Smith's best movie.
I agree.
It might be, yeah.
Unbelievably good. Okay, so Tusk. So Josh, you never really fully said. Is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
It's like a meh. Like for
it's one of these, right in the middle.
Yeah, it's the thumb in the middle. Like there's great things about. I would say see it at least once.
So will you ever watch it again?
I don't know.
That's a no. He said it's bad.
No, it doesn't, because Josh also says that he never rarely watches anything again. Like it's gotta be super good
true.
For him to watch it again.
But with this movie, I would maybe sit down to force someone to watch it to show them the walrus parts. But like I don't know. I like it on the same way I like the Human Centipede, maybe, but I like the Human Centipede more than that.
You're a fucking weird guy, Josh.
I am. By the way, just last night I started reading Marquis de Sade's 120 Days of Sodom.
Oh, nice. That's I'm sure the book is even worse than the movie. I don't know. Could that book be worse than that movie?
It is. It is. Like you get description of each of the main characters' assholes. exactly like how they look, how white. It's fucking insane.
Aren't the main characters children?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're...
No. The main... The four bad guys. the four guys who do it all. They're the main characters, and we get an explanation for each of them, exactly how they behave, what they did. And it starts with them all marrying each other's daughters and then having sex all together in a group. And that's the opening description of the book.
Salo is such a... And I know it was supposed to be like a allegory as to fascism in Italy at the time or some shit like that, but...
And Marquis de Sade, he wrote this in a prison cell in Bastille in 1798, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like this is just a guy that's like... He was a fucking pedophile that wrote a diary and it got published.
Right. Yeah. But then again, he's the reason why it's called sadism now. Like why people talk about sadism. That's the Sade. That's his name.
Yeah, I get that. But there's a bridge that you don't cross.
Right.
And he jumped over it multiple times.
Right.
He's like, this is sexual expression. No, it's not your fucking kids.
It really, I mean, that is such a tough... The same way with a Serbian film when he had said, he's like, this is my way of talking about how hard life is in Serbia. I'm like, there's other ways to talk about that without going that way. You know, you could have a good dialogue without talking about some really fucking gross
weird
shit.
You could
have
filmed an hour and a half of a dog with diarrhea and explained it that way instead of what you just did.
That's good. You'll have to let me know how it is when you finish the book.
I will, but...
Is it a big book? Is it thick?
I got the ebook for like 45 cents on Amazon. That's why I got it.
Because nobody wants to read that shit, and they're just like, just barely give it away. You can't give it away for free, but you can almost. Real close.
And I think like he wrote it like in little small pieces, like in a really small size, on like one roll of paper of like 28 meters to the front and back, because he didn't have much paper. And
it was his toilet paper, wasn't it?
Maybe, yeah. Something
that's why
like
he was
that.
So
yeah,
infatuated with buttholes. He was so angry he had no toilet paper.
But let's maybe go on with the year 2014.
Yes.
I think it's my turn. I'm... let's talk about another sequel from 2014, Dead Snow, Red versus Dead.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
In the first movie, they have a big problem with Nazi zombies. Okay, so what do you do? How do you fight Nazi zombies? Well, how about communist zombies?
Right.
That's the logical conclusion.
Red versus Dead... came out of nowhere, or Dead Snow came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It was such a weird... I feel like it was one of those things where I just talked about it in small circles when the first one came out. It wasn't really well known. It was like, hey, do you see this fucking crazy movie? And then the second one just took everything that the first one was and just turned it up to 11. I mean, it really did. And it's fun, though. Those are both just fantastic movies.
Yeah, they're really good, and they're like completely messed up. Like, I don't exactly remember if the second one is as gory as the first one. I remember more of the gore scenes from the first one, like where the guy, like his whole intestines fall out, and like one guy is hanging from the intestines of a zombie down a cliff. But in the second one, I'm sure there was much as well. And it's like they made the first one, but they just now had budget, and so they made it bigger.
Yeah, it was gory. It was gory for sure. They definitely had the gore in the second one. And I feel like that happened in another movie I watched where somebody used the intestines to jump out a window of like a high-rise building and then swung in a window a couple stories down.
But now
Skyscraper.
No, it was not Skyscraper.
I feel like that's with a one scene hand. That should be in every movie, though. Like,
yeah, there was something where somebody takes the intestines and...
I definitely remember that, too.
Yeah, it was a goofy movie with... I don't know. Anyway,
wasn't a goofy movie.
No. Not a goofy movie.
That'd be so funny. Which he just would be cuts Donald Duck and fucking jumps out of the movie.
Should be really weird. But
intestines aren't long enough though, so he just drops.
He makes it like 2 feet, and that's the end of the intestines. So Dead Snow 2 is one that I haven't seen probably since 2014, because I'll go back and watch the original, but maybe I should revisit the sequel. I haven't seen it in quite some time, but I remember liking it. Oh, you should check out the first for sure. It's a silly, fun, fucking weird zombie kind of comedy at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I've always seen it. Like, it's been streaming since it came out. You know? Yeah. It's just one I've always passed by for whatever reason.
I'd say throw that one on your list. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Okay, so next up for me is, I hope you guys have both seen this, but maybe not. And again, I'm just moving in alphabetical order, is As Above, So Below. Have you both seen this?
I saw that in the theater, yeah.
Oh, did you? Nice, lucky.
Yeah, when it came out, like, I know, I remember we were either that or Deliver Us From Evil. Those were both out at the same time. Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Still haven't seen that one yet because I watched As Above, So Below, and it's fun. It's like found footage in the sewers of France.
Yeah, basically. They're like they're in like the catacombs in Paris.
But oh, yeah, exactly.
I don't want to ruin the ending. Have you seen As Above, So Below, Will?
Yeah, I just watched it like last Sunday when we talked about doing the 2014.
Okay, so I have thoughts about what the ending is, because I feel it's a little bit ambiguous, but at the same time, it could go one way or the other. But that's what I really liked about this movie, is I feel like it set it up in a way, and it was a good found footage. Like, found footage by this time wasn't as prevalent, I don't think, as it was. You had some big blockbuster stuff, but it wasn't everybody doing it like it was when Paranormal Activity and all that stuff came out.
So what do you think is ambiguous about it?
We'll talk after we're done. Because I don't want to spoil it for anybody what this ending could potentially be. Because I thought it could be one of two things when I watched it the first time. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just for remembering it incorrectly. But or we could just spoil it right now. We'll spoil it right now.
It's 6 years old.
Right. So
who hasn't seen it?
My thought was were they in like purgatory or in hell? They were all dead
at the end when they come out of the thing.
Yeah.
No, I think they were on the other side of the city.
No, I thought that even after they had come out, there was something about some of them got left, or the people that were down there, that they were essentially like Dante moving through hell. Was the whole place hell or some sort of a hell?
Well, I think so.
Once they got to that point where they were at the bottom, they went lower, but as they were going lower, they were actually going higher. So they were like ascending.
Right. See, to me, that's why it reminded me of the Inferno. It was like Dante at his different levels where they were experiencing all this different shit depending on where they were at. Right. And so I thought they were almost in like a living hell and then ended up getting out of it at the end.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
See, and that's where I say you could read it a couple ways. Was this like a literal hell, or was it just some kind of crazy fucking monsters and things, evil things happening, whatever, in the catacombs?
Oh, no. I think it was supposed to be, because everything was reversed. Like, it was, they went to the point of, and then they went underneath that one tunnel and it said, you know, what does it say?
Abandon all hope. Ye who enter here. Yeah.
Which, like, she stops and she's like, that's what's written on the, above the gates of hell.
Right.
And that's when everything went fucking bad. Okay.
And my thought was it always was a literal hell, not just some scary things. Like, they were actually traversing some sort of a hell.
No, that's what I thought it was supposed to be too.
Yeah.
Either way,
By the way, for anyone listening, I think this episode will be a bit longer than the usual.
Right, because we're already almost at an hour.
Oh, shit.
That's all right, though. Yeah. Fuck it. There's no reason not to.
We can do a 3-hour episode.
Right. Okay, so next up, we can try and get through it, and we keep getting sidetracked, too. We got to try to stay on top.
That'll happen.
All right, so Will, you're up. What do you got next? You're up.
Let's do Starry Eyes.
Yeah,
Starry Eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, Starry Eyes was cool. I remember I used to listen to this podcast, this horror podcast. I'm not going to say what they are. they had all these weird, random, I guess at the time would have considered like bottom of the barrel, like Netflix movies. But there were some really, really good gems in there. Like, Starry Eyes was one of them.
Yeah.
So they were talking about, I'm like, I got to see what the fuck this movie's about. And it's been probably 4 years since I've seen it. So I don't remember it like perfectly, but I just remember it being about like, a struggling actress who kind of gets into she gets Harvey Weinstein into the movie.
Right. Yeah. She really does.
Yeah, but it turns out it was a satanic cult, and it's just like the way that it just builds up. I thought it was really good. It was definitely one of those good little gems.
Oh, for sure. Go ahead, Josh. Yeah,
I think it's like one of those movies that just suddenly appeared on Netflix. Like, no one talked about it, then it just came out on Netflix, and people slowly started finding it and watching it. And it's one that wasn't never really so much talked about. But yeah, it's really, really good.
And for me, it was always, you know, a a story that looks at the industry as a whole. And you know, you could kind of see some of the meta stuff there and the meaning behind all of this. And even though they wrapped it up in a horror movie, it was really, I think, more impactful if you think about, well, that's what happens to a lot of people who go out to Hollywood trying to make it. Like, they sell themselves, essentially, into this system. And they'll do whatever it takes, because near the end of it, she gets to that point where it's like, whatever the fuck it takes, I'm going to end up doing this stuff. But you're right, it's a solid little horror flick, because the horror is really good on top of it. They had a good story, wrapped it up in a little horror bow, and the result is just this really cool little, like you said, it's a little hidden gem that if people haven't seen, they need to check it out for sure.
Yeah, it's good.
For sure. So the next one I got, let's finally talk about it. The movie that the kid sold completely. It's The Babadook.
Yes. Babadook.
I think I told that last week on the show, now that I think about it. But I was in the cinema when I saw that one. And like, the girls behind me said, like, we're not going to let you pick any other movies because this sucked. And I was like, no, this was great. This was probably the best horror movie I've seen this year.
It was good.
I'm with you there. But it does seem to be a really polarizing movie. Shayna doesn't like it. She doesn't like it at all. I know Phil doesn't like it. Didn't like anything about it. And I finished watching it and I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, look at what they just did. One thing, it's just visually so creepy. And then on top of that, it's a really solid mental health story. Like, once you get to the end of this thing, they told, you know, took a real world story. And I feel for her at times when that kid's losing his shit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'd be in the same spot, man. Just fucking losing my mind over this.
And it's like,
and I mean,
go ahead.
There you go. Well, that's what I think is so great about the only thing that's kind of hard about this movie is the kid is really annoying at times. Like, it is annoying at times.
But I think that's perfect.
Little fucking kids,
right? I think that's perfect, because it feeds into the idea of why she had this psychotic break of sorts. And, you know, because she reached a point where this kid had just overwhelmed her, because he really is. I mean, he's bad.
Yeah, my kid's been stuck at home for a month and she's driving me fucking crazy.
It's everybody's kids, man.
Right.
But The Babadook, top notch. I think it's a great one that'll stay around for a long time. And, you know, when they used the visuals, I thought it was used really effectively. That storybook. Yeah, Josh, we were talking about this last week with Micah, because I want one of those books. I want a full Babadook pop-up storybook with these creepy shadow monsters all over the wall.
Yeah. So Babadook actually won the Bram Stoker Award for Best Screenplay in 2014 also.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which I feel like it should have, because that's a different level of horror. You know, you can make a good horror movie with just some good slasher stuff, some good jump scares, but this was, I don't want to say highbrow, but it's a different caliber of movie where there's multiple layers. You know, there's not multiple layers in Friday the 13th Part 6. I'm going into that because I want to watch Jason fucking kill a bunch of people. But in this one, there's so many different levels that causes you, after you're done, to actually sit and think about the movie. Like, what did this mean? What did that mean? Like, really, they did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to me. This one, I hope at least one of you has seen it. Bag Boy, Lover Boy.
I couldn't find it. I was trying to watch it, and I couldn't find it.
Josh, have you seen Bag Boy, Lover Boy?
I never heard of it, I think.
I don't know if it's streaming anywhere over here. I know I saw it streaming. It might have been, you know what? It was on Shudder. It was on Shudder is where I had watched it. But I don't know if it's still there, because Shudder tends... Oh, you know what, Will? It's on Tubi. It's on Tubi for free right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and this is a very... I guess one of the best ways I could describe it is, imagine if Maniac was a horror comedy. Like, it's so
Greasy Strangler?
Not as far as Greasy Strangler. It doesn't go that far. It's not as fucking weird as Greasy Strangler, which is another one that is just unbelievably good. But this, you've got like a hot, I want to say he sold hot dogs on the sidewalk. Like, really nasty.
That's what IMDb says. Yeah, an oddball hot dog blender.
Yeah, but his hot dogs, like, it's he'll pull a hot dog out and it's got like pubic hairs and shit on it.
Oh, dude, it sounds like Greasy Strangler.
But no, that's
dipping his dog all the way in.
This guy ends up somehow hooking up. Somebody wants him to be like a model or some shit.
a photographer anyway, or something, right?
Yeah, or maybe he was a photographer. But he pretends to be a photographer. He works for this photographer who takes like erotic photos and things like that. Well, this guy goes out of town and he ends up taking over his studio, pretending to be somebody he's not, and then tricking all these women to come up there with him. And then it just goes off the fucking rails with all the stuff that happens. But it is 100% worth a watch. The lead guy was so funny. I mean, funny in a really dark way. I shouldn't say he's ha-ha slapstick funny.
Is he that guy with like the crazy mustache that was in, he was one of the interviewed guys in Hell House LLC? I recognized his picture when I looked it up on IMDb.
Let me see. Because, yeah, John Watcher was the, he's so fucking weird in this movie. It's, I'm trying to pull up his IMDb real quick. So, Bag Boy, Lover Boy, Coffin Dreams. I don't see him being in Hell House.
Yeah, this guy. Right here.
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was the. I was thinking
the historian of the town or something.
Right. I was thinking of the main guy, the younger guy who plays the actual bag boy. But it's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But either way, if either of you get a chance, check that shit out. It's fucking weird. It's super weird, but I had a great time with it. It was one of those where I'd get 5 more minutes in and be like, "What the fuck?" And then 5 more minutes in, be like, "What the fuck?" Like, it just keeps getting more what the fuck the longer you go along. So it's cool. Check it out.
That sounds great.
All right, Will, you're up.
So I'll go with one that I just watched a couple days ago for the first time, and it's a concept I thought was really cool, but I just thought the execution was just not there, and that's The Houses October Built.
Okay. I didn't even have that as a 2014.
I haven't seen that.
So I think, Will, especially for you, because you and I have talked many times about Hell House LLC, that's the superior haunted house found footage movie in almost every way.
Right.
The House is October Built. What killed me, and I can't even remember if they reveal this at the end of the first one or it's the beginning of the second one, was how it actually all played out. And I don't know.
It was the beginning of this one. It all played out. Like it was, well, I'm just going to, Josh hasn't seen it. Shit.
Right.
The beginning of this one is like one of the last scenes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And I thought what they did good with Houses October Built, though, is it felt like a haunted house. They did a good job making it feel like a haunted house.
I honestly have no reason believing that they probably weren't really filming in haunted houses.
Right. Yeah. Because it all felt there. And the difference, though, I want to say is with this one, if I remember correctly, some of the acting wasn't as believable as it was in Hell House. In Hell House, all of them felt pretty natural, save for like one or two scenes. Whereas in this one, I feel like there was a couple characters where it's like, I can tell you're not really this person.
So the difference between this and Hell House is this, they were going to haunted houses and filming. Hell House, they were documenting their haunted house.
Yeah, because this one was like a road trip.
And this then was a road trip. They find the Hell House. The fucking haunted house.
The ultimate scare.
Yeah, but... damn, Josh hasn't seen it. I don't want to ruin it. I mean, fuck it. We don't need to talk about it anymore. It was okay.
Okay, so we'll move on to Josh. What do you got next?
Yeah, I'll try to watch that as well at some point because I'm now intrigued at least.
I wouldn't rush to it. It's good. That's not good, isn't it?
Okay, then I just stay away completely. Okay. I think there's so many good movies that came out in 2014, especially like indie movies, like smaller movies that not as many people have maybe seen. One I have on the list is Spring.
I didn't even know that was
almost not really a horror movie. It's like a. It's like the midnight what's the name again, the Midnight Trilogy.
What was the most recent one that came out from those two? The Netflix one where they were the Ritual. Where they went back to, was Spring the same guys who did that movie where they go back to the cult where they were at as kids?
Yeah,
and then it's a big fucking weird time loop. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've seen all movies that those two did, and I love them all. Like they did the first one is called Resolution that I just can recommend everyone. Then they came out with Spring, which is a love story. It's a guy meets a girl in. I think in Amsterdam or something, and they just walk around and talk, and then slowly it turns out that the girl is actually a monster.
Right.
And over time, she turns into a lifeless monster or something. And it's great. It's like almost as much a romantic love story that is really good as it is a horror movie that is really good.
Yeah. And I only saw it after you had recommended it. And I don't know if I'd call it a horror movie. Like, yeah, it is,
like,
but
this,
that's a tough one.
It's worth talking about on a horror podcast for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to mention it because it is, I really loved it.
It's a great, let me tell you about the next one, Toy Story 3, when there was...
Going back there again.
It's never going to not be a joke. But no, I agree with you. I haven't seen that first one, Resolution. But I've
you
seen
have
the,
to. It's
yeah,
amazing.
I've seen the other two. I'll add it to my list of shit to try and watch. See if I can find it streaming. I'll write it down because the Endless was super cool. But yeah. Again, not really a horror movie, but it was more of just a mind fuck. Like, what is going on here? All right, so good one. Let's see. So I'm gonna start picking through some of them. I'm gonna go through not in alphabetical order. I'm gonna pick one of my favorites, one of my all time favorites. I don't know if it would be top 10, but it would definitely make the top 20. Horror movies all time for me. It would definitely make top 20 all time. And that
intrigued.
Is
intrigued.
Yes. Well, it's one that no matter how many times I've seen it, this movie never fucking loses its punch. And I'm such a huge fan of his. And I think he really delivers so well on this one. And it's Creep. Yeah. Creep is just... The first time I saw that, I remember being floored. Like, look at what they did.
Right.
Like, look at what these guys did with no money, and look at Mark Duplass just being absolutely fucked. When he shows up that first time at his car window, or when he's standing there as Peach Fuzz, like, kind of just, you know, moving back and forth in that doorway, real, like, breathing all heavy. There's so many scenes in that movie, and the ending of that thing is what just wraps it all up in the craziest way possible.
I mean, every fucking thing he does, like, from the first, like I'm going to introduce myself to this guy that I'm paying to film me. The first thing we're going to do is watch me take a bath.
Right. And as it gets revealed, though, that, like, none of this shit's happening. He's not a dying cancer patient. He doesn't have these, like, kids that he's leaving a story behind for. It just becomes more, like, the title says it all. He is
He's a fucking creep, dude.
He's
There's
so
no
creepy.
Better way to describe what he is other than a fucking creep.
Yeah. It's just a top-notch, you know, not even just found footage movie. It's just top-notch horror in every way. Yeah. Because you believe, like, there probably are people in the world like that. There probably are people who exist who have that sort of, like, the wiring's just a little bit off, and they would do some weird fucking creepy shit. And this one just works on every level. Every cylinder is firing at 100% from opening credits all the way until the end.
Yeah.
Just wonderful.
And this movie came actually out all over the world on the same day on Netflix. And this was the first movie I saw on the day of release when it came out on Netflix.
Nice.
Because usually, especially here in Germany, like, even the movies that come out in the US, they come out in Germany like a few months later, especially at the time now it's getting better. But yeah, so this was the first movie I saw on the day of release on Netflix, and it made me want to watch everything Mark Duplass is in, because he's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he is awesome in this. So
if you haven't seen that one with him and Ray Romano on Netflix, that was solid. Paddleton?
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
That was good. And Mark Duplass, that's... anyway, we'll keep moving on. We don't got to talk about Paddleton, but yeah, it's good. But Creep, yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so next on my list, I'm going to pick Honeymoon.
Oh, right on. I don't think I had it written
Netflix
down.
Netflix release.
Yeah, another Netflix release. I thought this was cool. It wasn't great. It kind of, after I saw this probably maybe 2016, a couple years back. I haven't seen it since. But since then, I've read the book Tommyknockers, and I kind of got a very big Honeymoon vibe when I read Tommyknockers. So I'm thinking that maybe they kind of pulled some of that from it.
Stole some of the ideas.
Yeah, like, they go to this rural town, and then there's, like, aliens.
And they're staying, they're at, like, a, were they in, like, a cabin? It wasn't at a hotel, was it?
It was, like an Airbnb kind of cabin thing. Well,
Airbnb's, cabin in the woods somewhere.
Yeah, it was just, like, a rentable cabin, but it was in, like, a small town. Oh, no, it was the dude's family's cabin, because he knew the people at the shop.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't. Right? But that I guess is a smaller plot point. Is exactly where they were compared to the, yeah. the grand scheme of things. I've only seen it the one time. I only watched it the one time on Netflix, but I do remember enjoying it and not knowing where it was going. I feel like it took a while to get where it was going to go, and it kept you kind of guessing and engaged with the movie the entire time, trying to figure out what was happening. And was she pregnant or going to be pregnant? Maybe not.
I don't know. There's a couple scenes with her in the bathtub that were like really fucking good. Like, well, not with her in the bathtub, where she locked herself in the bathroom and stuff.
Right.
It was like freaking out and shit. I mean, there's not a ton to say about it. Like, it was mentionable as one of the movies I happened to see in 2014.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not a home run, but it's not a dud, I don't think.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, and I think this is one where it has like an ending reveal that we get in so many movies where it's like, I don't want to spoil it, but there's always this ending reveal that we get in so many movies, and in this one it's done really well where it all makes sense. It's not like it feels not like tacked on to have a twist on it, but it really feels like the whole movie is building up to this ending,
right?
Which I really like when the movie is actually planned out from the beginning and not just like, okay, we'll have some ideas and then we'll have an ending.
All right, Josh, you're up.
So I'm gonna talk about a horror musical.
I think I know what you're talking about.
The Wicker Man. No.
fuck you.
From 2014, it's called Stage Fright.
Yes.
And I randomly found this one on Shudder when we had it for a brief period over here. And it's about a slasher on a like musical camp where like there's a slasher going around killing people. And it's a horror comedy, but I thought it was really fun.
And is this our first remake? I'm trying to look at everything we've talked about so far.
Depends if you count The House That Dreaded Sundown.
Yeah, that's not really a... Yeah, that's more of a sequel, weird sequel. I don't know. But Stage Fright, I watched the original recently. And I can't remember if the remake... I only saw this remake the one time. But I don't remember if they were all trapped. In the original, they're all trapped in the theater throughout the entirety of the movie.
No, I think in the remake they're like it's all over the camp and it just happens really quickly and like it's kind of the way it goes in Black Christmas, where it's just like the people are disappearing but they don't even realize that the people are dead until
end. Okay, yeah. Maybe that's one I haven't seen. Maybe I haven't seen that remake, because I feel like you know what I'm thinking of is, what was that shitty movie I went and watched? The Gallows. Was it The Gallows? Where they were all in the theater. It was found footage.
School play, I think.
Yeah, so maybe I haven't seen Stage Fright. I'll have to check out that remake, because I think it is on Shudder right now.
You should see it. Like it's another one it's not great, but it's a good horror, good slasher movie of recent. Like usually the slasher movies are good in the '80s, and then
right on. All right, I'll check it out. Next up for me, I absolutely love this fucking movie, but only because I feel like it is a beautiful love letter to the practical effects of the '80s. Beautiful love letter. And at the same time, kind of a love letter to the monster creature features of the 50s, where, you know, nuclear waste, all kinds of stuff, creates a bunch of monsters, and that is Zombievers. And I don't know. I don't know.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, me neither. You're on your own here, man.
Oh, man. It is, I'll be brief with this one, but where this movie succeeds so well, you have all the archetype characters. All of the teenagers are exactly, you know, you have the jock, the good girl, the innocent one, the slut, the joker, all these different characters. But what they did so well is the practical effects. This movie is worth watching just for the practical effects alone. To see these mutated beavers, you know, with like, you know, flesh falling off of their faces and huge glowing eyes.
And they're practical?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything's practical. Oh, okay. I think you get a couple of small little CGI moments in there, but for the most part, everything is done practically, and that's why this deserves to be on this list. The fact that somebody went back and was like, you know what? We're going to do this the old way. We're going to go back and do this the right way.
That's cool. I mean, that makes me much more interested, because I've always seen the cover art, and I just kind of like it automatically in my head just went into like a Sharknado. Like, I'm never going to watch
this. This is not that whatsoever. This is not that at all. This is 100% worth a watch, especially I know you really enjoy practical stuff. Just to see these practical effects is 100% worth it. Check it out.
Yeah, I will check it out. You told me like not too long ago we talked about this, I think. Maybe when we did Creature Features. Yeah,
and it might have been, yeah.
I really want to see it. I just need my need to get my hands on it. That's how you say that.
VPN, VPN, VPN.
VPN. So my next movie, VPN.
VPN, the movie.
Okay, so is it me?
Yeah, it's on you.
All right, so let's do Rec 4.
Okay. What was that one on the ship, right?
That was the one on the ship. And this one is not good. So for me, Rec and Rec 2 are just fantastic fucking movies.
They're really good.
Yeah. And then Rec 3 was The Wedding.
Okay.
Which was like a prequel to
Rec.
Yeah. Kind of. It was like, it was happening at the same time, I think, as Rec. So it was just like the same thing that was happening just somewhere else.
Right. It ran concurrently with the first one.
But it tied in with the story as like you find out that one of the guests to the wedding was the vet that the people had their dog sent to.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Right. So then the fourth one ties back in with the same girl from the
first one.
From the first one is on this ship and she knows karate now.
The fourth
all,
one
all I know
in-
about
Go ahead.
Yeah, all I know about the Rec 4 is like I've seen the cover and like where in the first movie the main girl, like she's a TV reporter and like she isn't anything special, and on the fourth one she's standing there on the cover just like in the Underworld movies or the Resident Evil movies where you always have like this super girl standing in front like.
And she has huge saw. I feel
that's the third movie because the girl in the wedding has a chainsaw.
No. It's almost like a big, like a circular saw. I feel like on the cover of Rec 4.
A Rec 4, really?
maybe not.
Because it gets very Resident Evil. Rec 4 gets very Resident Evil. And it doesn't need to be. Like, that's not what that movie was ever supposed to be. But,
she's holding like a boat prop, almost.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
But with the way her hair's in her face and shit, it looks just like Resident Evil.
Right, because this is what I was thinking right here. I don't know if you guys can see that.
That's the third
one.
Yeah.
I like that, like how that kind of develops in the third one with her like just fucking getting through it.
Yeah.
But anyway, the fourth one, it's nothing to write home about. It's just, I was watching all of them, so I watched it. There's nothing really special about it. It's just, it's a movie that came out in 2014.
I'd take a pass. Take a pass. Watch that first one. That first one's so good.
The first one is great. And the second one, the second one is also good, yeah.
They're like Kill Bill 1 and 2. You just watch them together.
Right.
They're not on that level of Kill Bill. I'm not saying that. But you just watch them together.
So, the next one on my list, I'm not sure if it's from New Zealand or Australia, but the tagline of the movie reads, Mad Max meets Dawn of the Dead. And that's exactly what the movie is.
Wormwood.
Wormwood. Road of the Dead.
Wormwood is amazing. Wormwood is so good.
And but I think like this is where the tagline really completely is true. Like it's just Mad Max meets Dawn of the Dead. It's like the fun of Dawn of the Dead and the fun of Mad Max all together. Like,
but I would say it's Mad Max meets Dawn of the Dead 2004.
Yeah, the remake. Yeah, for sure. That's what
definitely
I was
the remake
of
Dawn of the Dead. Have you seen Wormwood, Will?
I have not.
It's one, I would say, of all this shit we're talking about, and it's spelled different, though. It's W-Y, isn't it W-Y-R-M?
Yeah, W-Y-R-M-W-O-O-D.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know if I've ever even heard of this.
It's fucking cool. It's cool.
It's from either New Zealand or Australia, and it's a zombie apocalypse, but in Australia, where they're like more prepared for that kind of stuff, and like they're also like Mad Max levels of
right. Like imagine like cars with like, you know, all like outfitted to be tanks and shit like that.
Right.
And people, I want to say the main guy has like a full mask on, like you would think like a Mad Mask type of garb and stuff like that. It's so much fun. That movie's a blast.
It really is. Yeah,
it's a very good pull there, Josh. Very good pull. next up for me, I'm going to go to Oculus, which is now I'm
2013.
But I thought it released in 14.
Everything, see, Oculus and Ouija were like flipped on two different lists that I saw.
Right, because I thought, let me see, Oculus release year. Yeah, it says April 11th, 2014,
okay.
But it was made in 2013, but it didn't get put out released. Until 14. Right, so that's where I pulled it from. This was my first, I want to say my first introduction to Mike Flanagan. And yeah. That was when I really started, like, who made this movie? Because this guy's got something. Like, right.
Wait, what did Mike Flanagan go do again? What's he known
Hush.
For?
He did Hush. Oh, he did yeah. the recent, the Netflix, the House on Haunted Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy just has an uncanny ability.
Gerald's Game.
Oh, yeah.
He does
did
all
Gerald's
the Stephen King stuff, right? Shining, does, isn't? Yeah.
Dr. Sleep.
Dr.
Sleep, yeah.
Yeah. But this one, and I really like, I can't remember who played opposite her. Was it, it wasn't Emile Hirsch, was it? Was it Emile
I've
Hirsch?
Never seen Oculus.
I haven't.
My first
Fuck
thing
up,
into
really?
Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, Hush is amazing. I want to say Oculus was Emile Hirsch and, Karen, Gillan from, she was in Jumanji recently. She played
Guardians.
Nebula.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, it stars Karen and, Gillan, but I thought her brother... No, it wasn't Emile Hirsch, so I'm not sure. Brenton Thwaites? Is that how you say it?
I have no idea, yeah.
You would know his you'd know his face if you saw him. He was in Pirates of the Caribbean. He played in Titans, he's Nightwing. Yeah. But you've got these two in this house with a mirror, a haunted mirror, that the girl is convinced killed her family off, like her mom and dad. The boy's been in lockup for all this time. Not lockup, but a psychiatric hospital for all this time. So he comes out not believing. Like, it was all in my head. All that shit that happened. As soon as he gets out, his sister shows up and's like, hey, we're going back to end this fucking shit that happened when we were kids. And he's like, wait, no. It's all in my head. And then the rest of the time is spent in this house. You 100% should watch that movie. It's a great, great movie. Not super gory or anything, but it's just a ton of fun.
Now I feel under pressure. I just looked it up and it's on Amazon, but I looked on Amazon itself and it says only available until 29th of April.
You so better get on that hurry. Shit, Josh.
Well, you got 10 days. You got plenty of time.
You better get on it. So yeah, Oculus, my next one. Really, really like it. It's one I watch every couple years or so. I'm just looking for something to throw on. It's a guaranteed good time.
Okay.
All right. So for me next, I'm going to go with A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Right on.
I just watched this for the first time Friday night.
Oh, okay. What'd you think?
I liked it a lot. I don't really know if I would call it a horror movie. It's got definitely the vampire-esque to it, and a couple of the kills are... Josh, have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Okay. A couple of the kills were probably horror-worthy, I guess, but... this movie was shot really, really well. Like, it was a really pretty movie to watch. I think it was a better movie to watch than it actually was story-wise.
It's pretty simple from the story, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing special about it, but it's just the black and white was really fucking nailed it in this movie.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of what they were trying to do is it was such a ground-level vampire story that, you know, we kind of saw in Let Me In a little bit and then Transfiguration, but that was later. But this one was just like, what if a vampire was trying to exist in the real world and just kind of follow that story? What would that look like?
Right. It was. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I don't have really a ton to say. I mean, it was good. It was like, it's worth watching, certainly. It's on Shudder over here.
Yeah, I got it on Blu-ray. It's good.
It was good. I'll probably visit it again, for sure.
It's cool. It's real cool.
It's worth checking out for sure. And that director, Annalily Amanpour, she also made a movie that Joe and I are really on opposite sides of the end.
So maybe Will, because I don't know if Will saw this or not, but if you've seen this, you'll be the deciding factor. I say fuck this movie.
She made in 2016, I think she made The Bad Batch with...
Jason Momoa.
Keanu Reeves, Jim Carrey, and Suki Waterhouse in the lead.
I never saw that.
Yeah, I think it was... I want to say it was... an original to one of the streaming services, wasn't it?
I think it's Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a Netflix original. It's kind of like Mad Max in a lot of ways. But
it's about this world where like all the bad people are just like kicked out of the normal world into their own mad kind of world where they were living in the
kind of a wasteland
in the desert.
Yeah,
in a wasteland, exactly. And it's just completely, there's like all these crazy people. And yeah, so Jim Carrey is like a crazy guy running around collecting trash, I think.
He's only there for a couple minutes, though. He's not there for very long.
He's not there much. All of them are like, most of them is Jason Momoa of all the big ones.
Sounds like Jim Carrey in real life running around being crazy, telling you your life isn't worth anything.
Right.
Kind of, yeah. And Jason Momoa's character, I think he's called like a Miami man, because that's his tattoo.
Right.
Like this whole movie is, it's completely, it's just crazy. And I love it, and Joe hates it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, the synopsis you just gave me.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you read it, I don't know. Just, it never worked for me. It just, nothing ever. I liked a couple parts with Keanu Reeves, who was called The Dream, was his name in the movie, is The Dream. And then Jim Carrey, that's right, they just called him Hermit. But Giovanni Ribisi's in there for a bit, Diego Luna. Yeah. Like, you had a decent... And I do like Suki Waterhouse.
I think she's great in it.
She's great in a lot of things, but this movie just fucking sucks. So, that's the
end
of that.
This movie is great. Like, I really loved it. Like, I went... And I think I told everyone about it, and then I heard Joe talk about it, and he completely hated it. And I was like, that's funny. Damn.
Fuck that movie.
I got nothing on this one. Sorry.
Okay, but what was the movie? Oh, we were talking about Girl Walks Home Alone Tonight. So, Josh, now it's on you.
Yeah, so I'll go to my home country, or at least our neighboring country, but it's the same language. A little movie called Ich sehe, or the international title of Goodbye Mommy.
Oh, nice.
About two...
See, and that wasn't even on my list again. I don't know what list you guys are finding.
It's about two kids, and their mother had like a facial reconstruction surgery of some sort, and so she's wearing like bandages around her head for most of the movie. And the kids are kind of like... I think the main plot is that the kids think the mother is...
Not their mother.
An alien, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they say she's an alien, but they believe it that she is not their mother, and then they start trying to figure it out, and all kinds of crazy shit starts happening. And her bandages aren't just bandages. She looks like the Invisible Man. You know, like you can only see, completely the eye holes. This is one that I found on a couple lists that was like, movies you gotta see, movies you gotta see. And I would agree with it. It's what it does so effectively is it's just so tense, because the whole time you're starting to second guess whether or not this is really their mother. And you're like, wait, okay, so what's really happening here? What's not happening? If I remember, I don't really remember the ending all that clearly. I remember what happens, but I don't know if they ever fully reveal if it was the mom or if it wasn't.
It has a twist ending that I don't want to spoil, but they just go to something else, and I think I don't want to tell, but I think I was pretty sure if it was their mom or not.
See, I only watched it the one time, and it's been quite a few years, and so I'd have to go back and revisit.
Same here. So I'm not fully sure, but I feel like I was pretty sure it was their mother.
Right.
Wait, have you seen this?
You know what?
No,
I
haven't seen it.
I just looked at the ending, and now I remember all of it. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So we won't spoil that. We'll move on to the next one. So for me, it is one of my favorite werewolf movies. And surprising, because it's a modern werewolf movie, and that is Late Phases.
I haven't even heard of this.
Oh, fuck. It's so good.
Isn't it Stephen King?
You guys, what's that?
Isn't it Stephen King? Like, because he wrote a book called Late Phases.
No, Stephen King's big werewolf one was Silver Bullet. Yeah, no, Late Phases. Well, shit, now I feel like I don't even want to really say anything about it outside of just watch it. It's super cool. It is super cool. Some of the names on it, I don't know him. Nick DeMisi plays kind of our main guy. Ethan Embry's in there. Lance Guest for a little bit. Tom Noonan, who is always a pleasure whenever you see Tom Noonan.
I can't think of Tom Noonan without thinking of Last Action Hero.
Right. He was fantastic in that. But no, yeah, check out Late Phases as soon as you get a chance. It's I want to say it's streaming in a couple different places. So it shouldn't be hard.
Late Phases?
Late Phases, yeah. I think it might have a different title for you, Josh. I think
I think it's Night of the Wolf.
Yeah, that's which wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Fucking Germans always changing everything.
Yeah, but it's also, once again, it's the English title, Night of the Wolf.
Oh.
not like a German translation of it. It's just called Night of the Wolf. It's
Germany, this one, it looks like it does have, for me, it's just listed as late phases, but it also has a fuller title on, or a subtext on Shudder that's Night of the Lone Wolf. So the full title is Late Phases, Night of the Lone Wolf. But yeah, that's the 100% worth a watch. Both of you.
Okay.
Jump on that guy. It's good.
Will do.
All right, well, you're up.
Next on my list, and this might be one of my favorite ones from 2014, and it was another one that I heard them talk about on another podcast, and then like it was in there, but like kind of looped in. I saw it like the same time I saw Starry Eyes, and that is Last Shift.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one, Josh?
I don't think so, no. Have I heard of it?
Basically, this... you should watch it for sure, and I won't spoil anything because I think it's the end is a really good payoff. But basically, a woman goes. It's like her first night as a police officer by herself, and she's tasked to stay overnight at this police station that's being shut down. So she's the only person in there. There's another police station down the street. It's very. It's like a satanic version of Assault on Precinct.
Yeah, that's a great 13. Way to put it.
Yeah. So, like, okay. There's another police station down the street, and she's just got to, like, babysit this fucking place, this police station, and then just all this weird, like, satanic, paranormal stuff starts happening to her. And for me, the end's really good. I think it was another one of those hidden gems in 2014 that just has a really good payoff. It's got some pretty good effects in it and stuff, and some of the acting's not, like, perfect. But I don't know. I thought the payoff was really good.
I thought she did an amazing job because she carried the majority of that movie by herself.
Yeah.
It was just her. And it was one that when you and I were talking the other day and you had mentioned it, and I wasn't sure if I had seen it. I went back to watch it, and as soon as it opened up, I was like, yes, I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
And was thrilled to watch it again.
Yeah,
because like you, by the time you get to the end, and visually, there's some shit in there that's just, you know, without ruining too much for Josh or anything, but even the tension, like the scene with the flashlight, where she thinks it's somebody, and then they just did an amazing job building an atmosphere that's super creepy.
Since I've seen that, I probably watch that one once a year.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's a real good movie. Real good movie.
Okay, I will keep my eyes out for it. I never even heard of it, but now that you're... Okay, I just looked it up, and it's not free on here, but I'll find it.
Yeah, it shouldn't be one, even if you find a DVD or a Blu-ray. It's not... shouldn't be super expensive or anything.
It's on Netflix over here, so VPN it.
Yeah, there's a thing called a VPN. You could get one, Josh.
Okay, so... my next one, I've been going out of the way to not pick it yet, but I think now let's just talk about It Follows, which it's kind of crazy that we haven't yet.
Pizza that nobody wants to grab.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like It Follows about like basically an STD
ghost, STD demons,
STD ghost. Yeah.
And this is another one, though, that Shayna doesn't like it. Phil doesn't like it. I'm like the only person who likes It Follows. And for me, it's great because it was all filmed in Michigan. There's certain places where I feel like I've been there. You know, it looks just like, so it really hits close to home. But I saw it in the theater and have watched it probably half a dozen times since. It's one that never disappoints every time that I watch it.
It's good. It's really good.
And who was the lead in that?
Blonde girl.
Blonde girl what?
Blonde girl.
Marika Monroe or something like that?
Is that her name? Because she does such a good job.
Marika Monroe, yeah.
Yeah, who plays Jay. And it was such a breath of fresh air in the horror genre. the synth music throughout all of it. Somebody loved 80s horror. Like somebody really loved 80s horror, because in a lot of ways, this reminds me of A Nightmare on Elm Street, in that you have this entity that there's really not a lot you can do to get away from it. Like once it's on you, it's on you. Once Freddy wants you, Freddy's going to fucking get you one way or another. And the same way with It Follows, once this thing is on you It's really hard to get rid of.
Dude, the scene when she goes out to the boat with those fucking three guys on the boat, and then just like the look of just disgust with herself.
Yeah.
After she's after like when you see her in the next scene, like you said, that she fucking kills that role.
Yeah, an amazing job. Yeah, and the way that he put these monsters into the world, like you just see someone walking from a distance, and it's kind of like it stains the sands red. Like, yeah, you can run, but that thing doesn't have to stop.
Right, you gotta stop. No matter where you go, it's coming. Right, like it's just coming when it gets there. It's not going to be there fast.
Right.
Like, that's okay. So this movie, I watched this movie like 4 years ago, maybe. And like, I had a nightmare after watching that movie that there was just some fucking person like following me. And a fucking, like, every time I would wake up, I'm like, God damn it, fucking stupid ass dream. Go back to sleep and then they would be there again. I'm like, what the fuck?
And yeah. It's crazy because often, like, nowadays you feel like all the original ideas are gone and there's no original horror villains anymore, and then something like this comes out with It Follows, which is completely original. No one has done this yet in this way. Like, yeah, you have things now like It Stains the Sand Red, but really, like, just an invisible being that just comes after you, and that's it. Nothing else.
I mean, it's like a slasher concept where it's just like slowly coming at you, like very, very Jason, but it's not that. And you can't get away from it because, like you said, wherever you go, it's coming.
And you never know how it's going to manifest itself. So you're constantly looking over your shoulder. It's not like Jason where, hey, that's that guy in that hockey mask. I know he's the bad one.
But it never manifested itself in a way that like it could be disguised.
Right. It was always naked most of the time.
Yeah. Or like it looked like somebody that was like on a bed in like a morgue, like on a slab in a morgue. Like it looked like somebody that was like dressed down in like a fucking hospital gown, kind of. Except the one time when you don't see it, when they're in the movie theater with the couple and they're like looking around and pointing at people and he's like the girl in the yellow dress.
Oh yes, yes,
yeah.
And he's like, "What girl in the yellow dress?" Or she says that to him. He's like, "You don't see that girl in the yellow dress?" But that's the only time it's ever described as like in clothes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And that was a good scene, though. That was a solid scene.
And that was like, that was scary without actually seeing anything because we didn't fucking see what he was looking at.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Like the same with the whole opening where it's just a girl like running in a circle and saying, I'm okay, and just running away. And then you get that scene of what happened to her, which is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't her like leg get busted like straight?
Oh, yeah, she was like a pretzel, dude. Yeah. Like a fucking like hanging.
Yeah. That was nasty. That's probably one of the best of 2014.
That's what I was going to say. This has to be out of at least of my list, probably. I mean, it's not my it is definitely one of my favorites. Like, I really, really like Last Shift, but it's probably the best out of all these movies I've listed so far.
I would say top 3 for me, cuz the next one that I'm going to do, unless Josh, do you have anything else about It Follows?
No, I'm done.
All right. So the next one for me is one of the best. And I think this hits so hard because it is based on a true story. Both of you have heard me talk about Ty West. I absolutely love the guy. I think he's an amazing modern horror director. And that is The Sacrament. The Sacrament. So this was the you both gave me looks like maybe you haven't. Will, have you seen The Sacrament?
No.
Oh shit, man! This is
Ty West.
It's Ty West. It is a Jonestown movie.
Shit! Really?
Yeah.
It's found footage. Yeah.
It's also really 2013.
Stop. Let me see what the release year was.
Yeah. The official wide release was 2014.
Yeah.
Haha. So some of these are, what year did it get? It's because some of them, if they put like 2013, that was at, Sundance or Cannes or something like that, where we didn't have access to it.
Well, we should be talking about Blue Ruin then, because technically that got a wide release in 2014. But anyway.
Fuck, Blue Ruin is so good. Is it a horror movie? No, but is it an amazing, unbelievably good movie? Yes. But The Sacrament is the Jonestown story. But the lead in this thing, Ty West, his hand is just all over it. Like, he has the ability to make shit so tense. But he even does, like, horror comedy good. Because didn't he do the Innkeepers? Was Ty West.
Yeah. House of the Devil. The Innkeepers. It had its cool moments, but the Innkeeper, I don't know. It was okay.
Yeah. I like the girl in the Innkeepers. And then House of the Devil is one of my favorite.
House of the Devil's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Man.
Amazing.
That scene in the courtyard when it reminds me of the scene in Texas Chainsaw underneath the swing.
Yeah.
when she's like in the courtyard and it just like swoops around. Oh, fucking House of the Devil. Ty West can fucking shoot a movie.
Yeah. And this one is no different, but it's so tragic because this shit we all know actually happened.
Like I didn't know it was about Jonestown. Because every time I've seen
They don't call it Jonestown, but it's fucking Jonestown.
It's
right. It's 100% that story, and it's just effective from start to finish. It overwhelms you with that feeling of I know something is wrong here.
Right.
I know there's something going on behind the scenes, but everything on the surface is real pretty. Everybody's friendly. Everybody's nice. Yeah. The Sacrament's a must watch.
So after I looked it up and I saw the cover, and I definitely have heard of it before. I've seen it. I've always seen it as like because you watched Red State check out, and it's always the first one. I just never pulled the trigger on it.
Oh, Chet, you should definitely pull that trigger, man. It's
now that I know it's Ty West, I definitely will.
Right.
Yeah. What's interesting is that the actor who plays the leader in this town is actually called Gene Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's good too. He was in
he the guy from damn it, you're probably gonna say the exact same thing. He was the shopkeeper in that one movie that the Coen brothers did. Why am I blanking on this fucking movie?
But now I can't think
No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, yes, No Country for Old Men.
Shit. Yeah.
And he was in A Hateful Eight for a little bit.
He played the fucking dude that sits in the chair.
Yeah. But him in the Sacrament,
chair.
He's so good. Oh, and you'd be, he's actually in Red Dead 2. He does voice work in that, which is kind of a nice
voice work. Okay,
yeah, and he was in Bug, which was really good. I mean, the dude's been in a lot of good shit. He's a great actor. But you're right, that whole scene in No Country for Old Men. He's like, you want to flip a quarter? Like, what are we doing here?
What do I win? Your life.
Yeah. So that's mine. So Will, you're up.
Yeah. So before we go on, how long are we going to keep going? Should we do last round maybe?
Yeah, maybe we'll do one more each. So actually, we'll do... Okay.
I have three left.
Okay, so okay, maybe if we just move along smartly, I think we could get through three more each. We'll go quick.
Yeah, okay, let's do three more each. That works.
Okay, so I'll do what I think is probably the worst one out of the last three that I have, and that is Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones.
Yeah, that sucks.
Haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
No, you're really not.
I kind of like the stuff in the little apartment I thought was okay. And then this is the one that goes like into the, like they go to like the fucking witches cult or whatever.
Right. He goes through the, no, that was in the, well, he ends up in that house, but that was in the fourth one. Because this was after the fourth Paranormal Activity with that house, but he like goes through a closet and then ends up in that coven house or whatever. Yeah.
Some of the shit with the kids was okay.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, and as I'm going through this list looking, there was a lot of fucking found footage movies in 2014.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like found footage movies. I'm one of those guys that will watch a movie because it's found footage. I do enjoy them a lot. But yeah, there's not a ton to say about this one. So yeah, that was that for me for there.
All right, Josh, okay. You're up.
How about Cooties?
I fucking Elijah love Wood. Cooties. I love Cooties.
Elijah Wood killing children who turn into zombies.
Elijah Wood, Rainn Wilson. Rainn Wilson was hilarious in this thing.
Ah, yeah.
But yeah, great. I don't know if you've seen it well, but it's a great horror comedy. And it really is just like, imagine an army of little kid zombies and a bunch That's of like funny. Faculty members at a school trying to defend this building from zombie children.
Because isn't it like if you had your
HPV vaccine? Shot or no, I thought it was the...
Oh, measles.
Was it measles? What was the one that was the HPV vaccine where they turned evil if they hadn't got it? That was that Netflix show. The, I can't remember the name of it. It was a zombie show that had one season that was actually really good. It was like Ferris Bueller with zombies.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Freaks? Was it Freaks? Might have just been... I don't know. Anyway, we'll keep going. But yeah, in this one, there's some vaccine that if you had it, you didn't turn into one of these little fucking monsters. But the comedy element is what makes Cooties so good. They really play into the comedy side of things, and they've got all the right people there doing it. It was fantastic. Good pick. All right, next up for me, I'll go with The Taking of Deborah Logan.
That's one off my list.
Yeah. I really want to see that one. I haven't seen it yet.
It's a solid found footage flick, and the thing that makes it so good, though, the thing that always sticks out in my mind is there's one scene in particular when that pops up in your face, it's like, get the fuck out of here with that nightmare shit. Yeah. Like what is actually happening right now?
Right.
and the woman who played Deborah Logan, I thought, did a great job. She played, you know, kind of dementia, losing her mind. They don't really know if something bad's happening, and then they do. But you had just watched it, so what did you think of it? Did you enjoy it?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Josh said he hasn't seen it, obviously me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I liked it. I liked it for sure. Probably, I don't think I'll revisit it. It was good. It was definitely good. Like you said, I think I know exactly what scene you're talking about toward
yeah.
the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that conclusion, and then, the build up to it was good. I think the daughter kind of killed it for me. The woman that played the daughter, she was, I mean, I've seen her in a couple other things. She's just not a very good actress, in my opinion.
See, and I don't even remember her that much. It's been a little while since I've seen it, because I introduced...
It's been like a week for me, so...
Yeah, I introduced it to Shayna for the first time. She really enjoyed it. But I think for me, it's just maybe I'm just holding on to those parts that were so good, and it was Deborah Logan. It was anytime she was on the screen, I was like, what is happening? What is going on here?
It was kind of like I felt like that crew was trying to be like they tried too hard to be the two guys from Insidious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, the one guy was like real smart-assy and kind of was, I don't know, he was just being a shithead to it. It's like, this is an old woman with dementia. Stop screaming at her to put down the knife.
Right.
Like, she should probably put down the knife, but you're not helping things.
Right. Yeah. But it's a good one. It is. I think it's one I would encourage everybody to watch.
No, I will. I'm looking for it.
All right, Will, you're up.
All right, so the last one that I do have on my list is Deliver Us From Evil, which I thought was another movie I didn't really know anything about. I just kind of was like sitting around trying to find something to watch. I like Eric Bana. I think he's pretty much everything I've seen him in. So I just pulled the trigger on this one, and I thought it was good. It was kind of like an Exorcist-ish.
Yeah. It reminds me of The Exorcist in a lot of ways, in that it's a bigger budget. It's a very clean movie. Yeah. Like they've got the money for the locations. They can, you know, go from place to place, and the effects are cool in there. But
it was like The Exorcist meets Blade 2.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's or
with
what was the other one?
Kind of thing.
What was the other one with Ethan Hawke, the vampires? Daybreakers?
Daybreakers, yeah.
Yeah, Daybreakers. But no, have you seen Deliver Us From Evil, Josh?
No, I haven't.
You haven't seen anything, Josh? I haven't seen anything. No. I always give Josh a hard time.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah. For anybody who's listening for the first
I'm
time.
I'm like 20 years younger than you, so I need more time.
Ooh, damn. Damn. And you're not 20 years younger than me, motherfucker, but you are in a place where it's harder to get movies. I have always said that. It is harder for you to get some shit. But you'll be like, oh, I've never seen Critters, but I've seen two of the Slaughtered Vomit Dolls movies. I'm like, wait, what?
I've only seen one.
You're doing it ass backwards. You're supposed to start with the mainstream stuff and then build your way up to the obscure stuff.
It is
a cool movie.
Octopus versus Ant, but I've never seen Critters.
Right. But this, it's been a long time since I've seen Deliver Us From Evil, but I know when it first released on DVD or Blu-ray, one or the other, I watched it, and I really liked it. I do remember really enjoying it. I feel like was this around the same time as that Anthony Hopkins movie, The Right? I feel like these came out around the same time.
Well, The Right wasn't in 2014.
No, but it might have been within a couple years.
I think it was 13.
A couple years either way, in either direction.
Well, 2011 was The Right. The Right was good. I didn't even put those two connections together, but yeah, I can definitely see that. That was good, too, The Right.
Yeah, yeah, it was a solid movie.
I always forget about that movie.
All right, Josh, what do you got? So we'll just do one more each, since Will is wrapped up. So, Josh, pick your last and your best.
Okay. Yeah, my best. I already have all the best. Like, I'm going to go with my last with one that I enjoyed, even though most people hated. And I haven't seen it since it came out in theater. But I have unfriended the...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Nobody else enjoyed that.
The computer screen killer movie. I like it probably more for just like the whole idea of like, yeah, it's just a group of people over Skype trying to find out what's going on, and there's a ghost killing each one of them.
Yeah,
it's kind of it's a good idea, and they did the Skype thing well. Like it looked like a real thing that people would use this way. But it's not great. It's not a great horror movie. I haven't seen it since the theater, but I watched it in theater with like four or five friends, and I think there was no one else there, so it was just a good experience.
See, that's definitely... I can see how that could be...
Right.
Like, you have fond memories of that movie because of the experience of the first time you saw it. Like, I definitely have a few of those.
Yeah, that's... I've seen it. I didn't like it. Every time they've tried to do this, I didn't like it.
That's what I was going to ask. Isn't there like 20 different iterations of the same kind idea?
I went and saw one at the theater last year. Something dark web. Maybe it was Unfriended, Dark Web? I think it was a sequel to Unfriended.
That one with the different endings, I think.
Yeah, where each theater, five different endings. So depending on which screening you saw, you got a different... a different ending.
You went five times to get them all?
No. What was the one that came out last year that was super huge? It wasn't a horror movie, but he was searching for his daughter.
Searching.
Good.
Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah, that was very well executed. But Unfriended, no, I'll take a pass every time.
Searching was kind of like A Simple Plan, wasn't it?
But it was all on screens. Everything was on...
Okay.
Yeah, everything was... It was what's his name from Harold and Kumar.
John Cho.
Yeah, John Cho. It was good. That was really good. Okay, so I'll pick one more. I'm going to go with a silly, stupid one that for some reason I really enjoy. I know a lot of people don't. And there's a sequel that I have not seen yet, but that is Wolf Cop. And
I almost watched it because just to watch it.
The thing I will say about Wolf Cop is sometimes people make bad movies and they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes people make a super silly, stupid movie. They know exactly what they're doing. Wolf Cop is that. Yeah. They were in on the joke the whole time.
Right. Pool Party Massacre.
Right. Right. They're in on it the entire time. They know what the fuck they're doing. And Wolf Cop, I thought they did a good job with the effects of the actual wolf. But you have werewolf human sex in there. Those are the kind of shit you're going to get into with this movie. It's silly and ridiculous, but it's a ton of fun. I had a blast with Wolf Cop, and I will probably try and find the sequel at some point.
I remember the sequel came out last year, and they put a 2-pack out. There was a Walmart 2-pack you could get called Wolf Pack.
Right, for $2. Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but you can just tell that's the guy. He knew what he's making.
Yeah.
And he knows how he wants to market it. I'm making a sequel so I can sell this Wolfpack combination DVD.
And he had a good time doing it.
That's why I like Pool Party Massacre. You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that movie, it knows what it is. And it's not good. But it's fun, man.
It is fun.
Stupid fucking fun.
I have a couple just honorable mentions. We don't have to talk about them, but I just want to make sure we put them out there. Life After Beth. Really like Life After Beth. Willow Creek. Really solid.
Willow Creek was a 2014?
Yeah. I want to say
that
it
did not come up on my list.
Yeah, I want to say that was released in 2014. The Voices.
Willow Creek is fucking good.
Yeah, Willow Creek.
Oh, yeah,
amazing.
The Voices.
Ryan Reynolds, which you get to see Ryan Reynolds not be Ryan Reynolds for a change, which is he plays it really well. Let Us Pray, which if anybody listening hasn't seen Let Us Pray, which is P-R-E-Y. So not pray like praying on your knees, like let us pray as in we're praying on people, is super fucking cool. That's another kind of really self-contained kind of one location deal. And that's really it. I mean, The Canal was pretty good. I enjoyed The Canal. Cabin Fever, Patient Zero is just another Cabin Fever movie.
Aren't they all origin Cabin Fever movies? There's so many that are just called Cabin Fever. I'm not sure which one I've seen.
Yeah, this one's got Sean Astin in it. He plays a big role in that one, which he's always fun on screen. I think he does a good job. So those are all of those everything I else. I mean, some other shit like Sharknado 2, Sea No Evil 2, The Purge Anarchy, I, Frankenstein, which I don't even know if I'd call it a horror movie. That was the Aaron Eckhart Frankenstein movie.
Yeah, I never saw that.
And there was also kind of how many starts of the dark universe have we had so far?
Right.
I think that was also one with Dracula Untold around the same time. Yeah.
Right.
Dracula Untold was on the list, but I didn't see that one either. So are those supposed to be, were those supposed to be kickoffs of the dark universe that never,
I don't know.
That's what I thought. These big budget, it was shortly after, the Marvel Cinematic Universe really came out. And
Marvel ruined that for a lot of studios, I think, because now everybody feels like they have to have that interchange. It's like, just make the fucking movies.
Right.
You don't need to have all these things intertwined.
They feel obligated to start planning for the next 10 years.
The Dracula and Frankenstein's monster exists.
The thing with Marvel, though, is that we give them all the credit. They created all this amazing shit, but they really didn't. All of those characters existed.
Right.
They just put them into new packages.
Yeah.
Whereas with, a dark universe, you can take those stories, But we didn't have volumes upon volumes upon volumes of these characters interacting where you could just take a story out of it. You know, we got fucking Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein and the Wolfman.
That's what I was going to say. The real Chad universe.
Right.
The real Chad universe was the Universal Monsters from the 30s, because then there we had House of Dracula, and then, at the end, Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Right.
It's all these monsters that just randomly come together.
Right. They end up getting all shipped together, and then Abbott and Costello find the crates and they open them up like, ooh, yeah. What's happening?
But what Marvel did and what the Universal movies in the 30s did was they first set up the characters and then made them come together, and not like DC does, where they first have the characters together and then have them with the solo movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's two more movies that I want to throw out there.
Go ahead.
No, that's not important. Go ahead.
Okay. So two more movies that I want to throw out there real quick is The Incident, El Incidente, a Spanish movie from 2014 that is basically a long episode of The Twilight Zone.
That was amazing. Were they all in the bus stop?
No, that's the Similars by the same guy.
Okay. So the
Incident is there's... three people trapped in a staircase. Like, they are running out of... I think it's even a cop hunting two guys.
Yes.
They get into a staircase, and the staircase never ends. They just... It always goes on for infinity, and...
Really good flick.
And then there's another part of that movie where there's a road that never ends. Like, a family driving along the road, and they always drive by the same places. It just always goes around. That movie... It's not a real horror movie. That's why I didn't throw it out there right away, but it's... complete recommend. I tell anyone to watch it. And the last one I watched, Blood Punch, and that's one I don't remember much about it, but I remember liking it.
Blood Punch?
It's about a college dropout, who was supposed to cook meth for some people. And it's also a time travel movie or something like that. I remember that it's really intriguing, and that there's like... He's living through the same day multiple times, kind of like a Groundhog Day thing. But in a horror vein, and it's fun. It's not a great movie, but I want to offer it.
All right,
I want to tell people to see it.
I watched a movie called Donkey Punch that was dog shit.
I've heard that's where they like the sexual position, the yacht. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it, and that was already enough.
He punches her and kills her. It looks like Blood Punch is on Tubi over here. So maybe I'll check that out. Even though it says 2013, but as we've learned throughout all this, you can't trust the internet.
Especially with these smaller movies.
Right.
Oh, and one last one on YouTube, a short called He Took His Skin Off For Me.
I feel like I've heard of that.
That's just like a short. It's 11 minutes. A love story about a guy who would do anything for his girl and like takes his skin off for her.
That's pretty extreme.
And he runs around without a skin all of the movie. And it's not fully scary, but it is listed as a horror movie on Letterboxd, and it's really good. Like, I recommend that one.
Okay.
11 minutes.
Nice. Yeah, you can't go wrong with something that's 11 minutes.
No. All right. So thank you, Will. Appreciate you being here, man. That was a ton of fun.
Thank you, guys.
Ton of fun. And if anyone listening has any other, recommendations, something we may have missed from 2014, let us know. And if not, check out some of the shit we were talking about, especially those ones where we say right after it, like, this is a must watch. That usually means it's pretty awesome. It's pretty rare. Yeah. So if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to... on all social media platforms, it's at IHOH Podcast. You can email us, IHOHpodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to jump onto Apple Podcasts, leave a rate and review. We would greatly appreciate it. And I think next week we're going to be back. It'll be just Josh and I again, working through our 101 horror movies to see before you die. We're getting into some pretty cool stuff next week. Yeah. One of them that I'm going to watch the VHS, because I've got a VHS copy of it, which I haven't watched it on VHS in a long time. So I'm excited about that. But again, Will, can't thank you enough for being here. It was awesome, man.
Thank you a lot.
Yeah, so for the International House of Horrors podcast, I've been Joe Merle.
I've been Josh.
And I've been Will.
And we'll be back next week with more things terrible, horrible, brutal, bloody, gory, and the macabre.